This is George.
And this is Donna.
And this is currently with George and Donna. Today's a very special day.
It is. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas, but that's not... Well, I'm glad that you said that, but that's not what I was talking about.
What are you talking about?
We have Tina and Mike on the podcast with us.
Hi.
Say hello.
Hello, and Merry Christmas.
Good morning. Merry Christmas, everyone.
You heard Mike's voice. Picture what kind of human being that comes out of. It's exactly that. Big, muscular, cool dude.
Now
you hear my voice? I'm exactly what you picture. A sniffly guy during Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's my fault. I apologize. I caught something. I don't get sick very often. The last time I was sick was actually last December. But I came back on a plane from Disney World, leave it to Disney, with all the people. And I got sniffly first, then it turned into a cough. Now it's going away. But guess what George has a week later? Sniffly first, turning into a cough. It's like the exact same bug. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I forgive you.
Thanks.
Do you guys forgive her?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I better not get sick. That's all I got to say.
Oh, wow.
So, the holidays.
Yeah.
I actually really liked this holiday because there was a lot of impromptu times of hanging out that happened because Tina and Mike decided to take a road trip from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. What kind of inspired that?
Well, you did, Mike. You inspired that. He had a special gift he wanted to bring George, and it was something that we had to bring down in the car. So he said, you know, this is really what I want to get George this year. I want to surprise him with it. So I'm going to bring it down. I'm like, well, okay, so when are you off work?
So see you later, Tina.
So when are you off work, and when can we go? Well, we originally were going to come for New Year's Eve, but then he found out he has to work that day.
Yeah.
So it just made more sense for us to come this week. So we last minute decided to leave Tennessee on Sunday and drive down, and it was impromptu, and I'm so glad. And it was so much more relaxed without a quote-unquote agenda.
Or
I think that's pre-made plans. You know, so it was so much more relaxed, and we just kind of, we set out, okay, here's a couple of things we really do want to do, and other than that, we'll go with the flow, and that's what we did.
Okay.
We've had a great time, huh?
Mike and I are going to do a reenactment for you guys of him giving me my gift. You walk into the door.
Oh, wow. Okay. Just kind of walk into the door and, well, Merry Christmas.
Oh, really? Thanks. Merry Christmas. What'd you get me, Mike?
What'd you get me right off the bat?
I got you gas.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. He literally got me a tank of gas. Yep.
Well, I owed you a bottle of Argon.
Okay.
And the Christmas gift was acetylene and oxygen.
Yeah, okay, cool, because I need oxygen.
So I packed up these compressed cylinders, you know, compressed gas cylinders in the back of a Mustang.
Nice, yeah.
And drove it 600 miles in the rain.
That's the dream. I think that's the American dream. It's just like buying a Mustang, putting some highly volatile material.
Oh, yeah.
And just living, man.
Yeah,
just
living on the edge.
Living
the whole
on the edge.
500 miles
you know
down
what?
Here.
I'm not going to risk it. I don't want to drive 10 miles a day. I want to drive 600 miles.
Yeah. You know.
Well,
see
I'm,
what happens.
I'm just curious to know if there's anyone else out there who's ever put oxygen, acetylene, gas on their Christmas list and actually got it right into Donna and George. And let us know.
I think I heard Mark Wahlberg did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he will.
Yeah, I think that's where Mike might have gotten the inspiration.
Mm-hmm. So I can picture George. He went to the mall and he sat on Santa's lap, and Santa's like, "What did you want for Christmas this year, Georgie?"
I whispered it too. I said, "Acetylene."
Oh, and if possible, oxygen too. And Santa got in touch with Mike, and Mike's like, "I'm on it. Merry Christmas."
Well, for people who don't know Mike, there's a reason behind that. Mike is a welder.
Mike the welder.
By trade, so he has access to many, many gases. Many
gases. Both from within and without.
Right. So he brought those for George so that George can do some welding soon.
Yeah, I would really want to learn how to weld better than just teaching myself via YouTube. I'll tell you a story. Donna, you went to church, and they're like, "Where's George?" And she goes, "He's welding outside," and it was storming outside. So the house that we were living in didn't have a garage, so I set up a tent. Makeshift tent.
Yeah.
And then I went to Harbor Freight, and I bought a welder, you know, one of those flux core welders for under $100.
Yeah.
And then I watched a bunch of YouTube videos, and I was like, I got this.
Oh, man.
So let me go out in the storm while lightning is striking. And just practice welding. Isn't that what you do, Mike? I think that's the perfect situation.
I think you have all the qualities that it takes.
Well, what I'm hoping is that Donna watched a bunch of YouTube videos on how to resuscitate someone and perform like some major, like, you know, surgeries and things like that for when George has an accident.
Like weird scenarios. Man welding outside, lightning strikes. What to do? I bet you that's something that's very Googleable.
Oh yeah, I would say that is definitely Googleable.
Googleable.
I want to know what comes out when you type that in. So our next episode, which we never come back to, we will talk about Googling.
Yeah.
Or you could, short for that, have you heard GTS? Google that stuff, or you know,
no, I haven't
GTS.
Heard.
Google that stuff.
I heard give it a goog.
Give it a goog.
We say give it a goog.
Yeah, which you know, if somebody doesn't understand that. Like your mother, she'll be like, "Don't touch me."
Give it a goog. She'll be like, "Oh, yeah, it's time for us to go."
Well, I think it's time also that we address the tiny white elephant in the room. We have another guest today. We have a third guest who's sitting on Tina's lap. It's Tina's brand new puppy, Claire.
Say hi, Claire.
Who we've all fallen in love with.
Claire
said hi in her own way.
Yeah. She moved an ear. She moved an ear.
Yeah.
She waved.
Not making eye contact with anyone. So
she's
acknowledged.
She's been thrown into chaos the last week.
She's like 3.5-month-old Jack Russell Terrier.
Mm-hmm.
And she's tiny.
Tiny and sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's very sweet.
So I think the story of how you guys got the dog is kind of interesting. Mike, like, somebody just came and said, "Hey, he whispered in your ear, hey, you looking for Jack Russell?"
Well, actually, this fella came into my brake trailer and was talking to these guys like, "I got a puppy. Does anybody want a puppy?" I offered it to another fella first, and he declined. And I was like, "Well, let me see what you got there, buddy." And he showed me a picture of her, and she was so adorable. I was like, you know, this is... you know, probably going to be me and Tina's first baby together.
Yeah, and you wanted a Jack Russell anyway.
Oh, yeah. My brother had a Jack Russell, and they're just terrific little breed of dog.
Well,
high
why
energy.
How do you know that they're really great?
Oh, well, my brother's dog was great. And
First-hand experience?
Oh, yeah, first-hand experience, because I used to play with my brother's dog, and he was really smart, and everyone else I've ever talked to about Jack Russell said they're a really smart breed of dog, and high energy, very high energy, but really intelligent and lovable, so.
But yet she will do this. She will sit on my lap for hours until I move. I don't know if it's because she's a baby still, or she's just got that personality. She's exactly what I've wanted. Like, we tried a puppy a while back, and he wanted to bite my face off. So I got rid of him, like, in 2 days. This one jumped on me, loved me from the beginning.
Oh.
And I've never felt a bond like this with the puppy. And we've only had her, like, tomorrow.
2 weeks.
Yeah, yesterday was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And she's...
I remember you have 30 days, so...
Oh.
To make sure...
To return her? No, I'm loving this one. She's a sweetheart. And she's actually, she's a good, she loves people too. Like, she's...
Yeah, she's been very friendly.
Yeah, she's very friendly. and she's doing good with potty. But we won't talk about pottying on the podcast.
No, trust me, that would not be the worst. So it's Christmas Day. We had some impromptu fun times. What was your favorite part of this like little vacation that you guys came down to? Think about what's your favorite part, if you can think, Donnie, you too. I'll let you be on the podcast
today. Oh, thank you. My favorite part was playing games.
Yeah, we played a lot of games.
I actually won 2 games last night.
Yeah.
I won Downforce and I won Azul. I beat these suckers here.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite part.
Yeah, she did do a really cool move on Downforce, which is a game that you basically lay cards down that pushes your these race cars around a track,
yeah.
A certain amount of spaces. And there's a lot of strategy involved because depending on which card you lay down and how many spaces at the specific time, you could get in front of cars, you could bottle up cars and stop them from moving forward. And she just played it
brilliant.
At the best moment possible in the game, and that was it. It was everybody else was trying to catch up.
Shake and bake, baby.
Shake and bake.
And I was terrible at it.
First or last.
Yeah, and I was terrible at it, especially the strategic part of it. But I think I'd like to get that one. That and Azul. Those
Azul,
two were
good.
Thank you for introducing us to those games because they were really a lot of fun.
That's always a good sign of a game. It's just like when you introduce somebody, they're like, I want to play again.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you guys said that to Downforce, which surprised me because you guys were so like quiet and into it because it's more of a strategic game. And then Azul, which was a lot of fun, is also a game.
Yeah. Both of those were, I like both of them.
But it's really important you make sure that at the end of each round, you get the tiles out of the bag and put them out before.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Wait.
Yeah,
wait,
good
wait,
point,
we
honey.
We skipping by that? We skipping by
that?
We
are. No. Are we going to move forward and not address that white elephant in the room?
Do you really want to explain the intricacies of the rules?
I'll explain it real quick.
So, George gets the burden.
Wait,
the joy.
I am going to explain it.
Explaining rules to everybody.
I will explain.
And making sure he doesn't skip or forget anything, because if he wins and skipped and forgot something or did something in a certain order, there's an asterisk now.
So
yes, was that a new term for y'all?
Yeah.
Good job, honey.
You're welcome.
What had happened was when George and I were playing Azul by ourselves, you have to replenish the board, and you do it out of this little baggie, this little sack that contains all the little game pieces. So you're supposed to run out of all the game pieces in there before you take from the little waste bucket, pour that back in the bag, and now you have a fresh batch of game pieces to choose from. Well, the other day we were playing by ourselves, and I accidentally dumped the waste in while there were still game pieces in the bag, and he's like, you're not supposed to do that.
So you made a mistake.
You messed it up. I said, yeah, I did make a mistake.
Okay, let's clarify.
Well, when George won, it was last night, right?
No, night before
the
last.
Night before
oh,
last.
Yeah. When George won, he did the same move. He pulled the little waste pieces back in the baggie before the baggie was done. And nobody fussed at him.
I missed it, and I didn't know.
I wouldn't say nobody.
It seems like
one,
I remember
I
Donna
it.
Reminding
yeah.
him
cause I've
multiple times.
For 5 minutes because of the tone of voice you took. Like, I
let you know about it.
I was confused.
So therefore, your win was not a true W.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was a win with an asterisk.
It doesn't
matter if you win by
an
inch or a mile. Winning is winning. Vin Diesel, Fast and Furious.
But then last night when we played, Donna made sure that she made the whole room aware.
I would swing the baggie around
that
the air.
The bag
shot.
Was
empty.
Uber
but
aware.
before I would like to talk about this, before we played Azul and Downforce, my mom, her husband, our new daddy, Sully, and our Aunt Libby were all here as well with the four of us, and we played Codenames. And I gotta say, the three elderly people that were here really got into that game.
Yeah.
My mom, I don't know if I've ever seen her in concentration mode like she was with
she
that
was
game.
In total zen mode.
And she was right because as
yeah, she was
code master,
doing
you're not
really
able to
good.
Talk or give hints. No. But she was on the ball a lot of
she
the time.
She was on point.
She just needs a little bit more like No, it's this one.
The concentration but in her face.
She was on the same team with Aunt Libby, who was about 4 eggnogs deep.
I think more than that.
And
there was no alcohol in the eggnogs.
She
was drunk off of pure eggnog.
Enjoy.
No, she drank the double spiked eggnog fast, too.
Yeah, she drank that really fast.
Yeah, she was like, look, gone. Done. So, yeah, she was quite boisterous. And tried to dominate their team.
Mm-hmm.
So Mama and Sully didn't have, they didn't have too much of a chance.
Yeah.
But that's her way. Yeah. And so they were just like, okay, Libby, hold on. And she would.
And then she went rogue.
And just start pointing at
her. So we have a rule. And it's more like a house rule. I don't think it's a. But if you tap the card, right? If you're hovering, you're. And you tap a card, you can't just go, no, I changed my mind and tap another.
Untouch it.
Yeah, untouch it. That's the one you're committed to.
Yeah.
So she started tapping like it was the 4th of July, just tapping away.
Playing the piano.
When she thought something was confident. And then later on, after 3 games, we tell her, you got to be careful because there's an assassin in one of the cards. If you tap it, you automatically lose your game.
Which we told them in the beginning.
We told them in the beginning, but we reminded her. And this realization, like, I've been flying pretty close to the sun.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
She's like, oh.
She's like, oh, there's this. What happened? You lose immediately. What?
And then when we put the bystander card out, she's like, why you put that one? Why is that red? We've told you. But like Donna said, she was like 3 quarts in to an eggnog, yes.
I was impressed with her, though, because it's really hard to get her to play games. Concentrate and play games. So the fact that she played more than one round.
She's like a chihuahua. She's bouncing all over.
And I'll pat myself on the back because I like to think about what games would be good for what groups, right? And I was like, this is the perfect game for this group.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have to rely on one person, their own cards, and their own decisions. They can kind of do it together as a group.
So, therefore, George, I am naming you the game profiler.
Game profiler.
Yes.
Hmm. That's pretty catchy, Donald.
Yeah, like you're the game profiler. You can look at a crowd of people and go, let's see. Based on my knowledge of the games that are.
But the thing is, like, if I look at somebody and tell them, like, a game I think that. Like, there's a game called Patchwork. You know? So if I look at Tina, like, you're a patchwork kind of girl.
I'm be like, say what? I've never patchworked in my life.
You're 2 rooms in a boom.
2 rooms in a boom.
George, you remind me of a munchkin.
You interested in playing some cockroach poker?
Oh yeah, we played that last night. That was
I've got one word for you, Donna. Azul.
Ooh, that's pretty.
Yes.
Yeah, if we hadn't already named Claire, I would call her Azul now, but we already named her, so.
So for me, like, I tried to put things together like that, like, you guys are coming down, we're playing games, but it was much more natural this time you guys came, and then the games rolled out, and that kind of taught me a lesson, like, hey, just let people, you know, have a good time, and then, like, if we want to do something, let's play a game.
Yeah.
So we just ate, we were drinking, and then it's like, hey, let's roll out a game, we rolled out the dessert. That you made?
Yeah.
Freaking delicious.
It was a hit.
It's the perfect thing to munch on something while playing, I think, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I actually look forward to that.
Yeah.
I can munch on some good food and drink some wine. Yeah, I know that's acceptable while we're playing games. So
that's acceptable.
Yeah.
Not acceptable in a lot of other areas.
No, like at church and stuff.
Yeah, church.
A funeral.
Yeah, that would be awkward, right? Like you're eating a dessert at church while the pastor's preaching.
Or drinking a glass of wine.
Yeah, drinking a glass of wine. You'd be like, oh, hold up, what's going on over here?
Yeah.
Okay.
For a PTA conference.
So that was your favorite part. Like, that was all to say your favorite part.
It was games, yeah.
Yeah. Mike, what was your favorite part of, like, this time together?
Oh, well, I think it was watching the seniors.
That was fun.
That gave me, that's what I'm going to take away from it. I mean, like how, they was contradicting each other. They were so into it, and they were, so competitive. You know, they brought up that I've never seen that competitive side to these people.
Yeah.
And they were on it. Mm-hmm. You know, especially Beverly. Shout out to Beverly. Just focused focused in mm-hmm. the whole time.
Mm-hmm. I think she's good at, like, kind of feeling the room, you know? Like, when mm-hmm. I said the two words, which were really different, was conductor and change. Mm-hmm. And that was for the team. And I said to her out of the group, I said, one station, right? So train station is what you think. And then change at a train station and your conductor would be one there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was
intuitive.
What you're trying to say. Mm-hmm.
She was intuitive about it. I said, the clue I gave was cigarette. And, you know, knowing that these are, you know, older citizens and whatnot, she immediately looked down on the table and saw luck strike.
Yeah.
And she said it like that. I mean, it was a matter of seconds. But then she was rebuked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think like, tapped another card. Right. Yeah.
Wild card Libby.
Yeah. All over the place.
Tina, what was your favorite part?
Okay, so as everyone else, I really enjoyed game time. But I have to say, the highlight was something that I've never done in my life and I probably will never, ever do again. So it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing that I did. Thanks in whole to my brother-in-law, George. I got to try on jewelry
that
Prince owned and wore himself.
Yeah.
Jewelry that the rest of my paychecks for the rest of my life probably couldn't afford. But I'm a huge Prince fan. George did a shout out to me on TV when they got the jewelry at the store he works at. And I don't know if I can say that, you know, sponsors and such.
You can.
No, I'm just kidding. So
nobody's paying us, so we can say whatever.
Right, right. So when they got the jewelry in, Donna immediately, when they were in negotiations for the jewelry, she's like, George's company is looking into buying some jewelry from Prince's estate. And I was like, oh my God, really? I'm going to have to come down and see it if they get it. And then next thing I know, she's like, yep, they've got what, five pieces,
yeah,
was it?
Five pieces.
And then next thing I know, she says, George is going to promote the jewelry on a TV, you know, like the news. And then she goes, you're really going to want to see the news because I'm in Tennessee. I don't get that local news. So I had to go get the channel on my Roku, find it. Oh, no, I did do that and I couldn't get it. That's right. You sent me the link. That's right. So I get the link and I'm like, oh, my God, George goes, my sister Tina loves Prince on TV. So then when we decided to come down, we all kind of was talking about what are we going to do? Not making concrete plans, but just like, oh, we can do this. We can do that. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, the Prince jewelry. I'm like, oh, yes. So they, out of the five pieces, they only had two pieces left, but that's okay. I tried both pieces on. I made sure I touched them really good and took pictures with them.
And you kept asking me, do you guys clean your jewelry? I was like, I guess. But I didn't make the connection of why she was asking me. Do you clean your jewelry, like, when it comes out? Like, I don't think so, you know.
She wanted a spot of DNA.
Yeah, a spot
Prince.
Of DNA.
Yes, I wanted to know that I had some of Prince's DNA on me. Yeah. Which is, I guess, kind of a weird thing to say now that he's deceased.
I forgot this. I got to back up a little bit. I did get to eat at Pierre Anton's, my favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
The best food I've ever had.
Wow.
Oh,
the best food.
You also got to hold something as well at George's shop.
Oh, yeah.
That it's you really...
Not often you get to hold a $20,000 rifle,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like a hunting, an old antique German hunting rifle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
So... If Mark Wahlberg is listening, which I'm sure he is, if you would like to, you know, get me either one of those pieces of jewelry that's at George's shop,
uh-huh.
I'd be okay with that. And, you know, I'd be totally okay with that.
If he knows our address, he can send us a check.
Yeah. I'd be totally okay with that. Or the rifle for you, honey.
Either one.
Okay. Yeah, he'll take you hunting. And I'll even let you try on the necklace, too. Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think he needs to come to your shop anyway.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know?
Yeah.
Did you say your favorite part?
No. my favorite part was the just impromptu get together, you know?
Mm.
And we watched the show The Office. And at the end of the series, Andy Bernard, you know.
Nard Dog.
He's looking at the camera and he's like, I wish they would have told you when you're in the good times that you're in the good times. Aww. And we've said that since then, because it was actually very insightful for that show, right? Because nobody tells you, like, this is the fun times right that you'll now, be talking about. Like,
right.
It, you know?
And when you guys all showed up, it was Monday night, right? Because Christmas Eve was Tuesday night. You guys came from your road trip, and Belle and Sully came, and we were just out here around our kitchen table. I thought that was like, oh, look at this. We got a party going.
Yes, yeah. We did have the
improv. It didn't take a massive amount of effort to, like, pull and call people that are coming and follow up. It's just everybody showed up.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, this is cool. We put on some music. And
yeah.
Happy times, man.
Now, I, you know, I have to say, once your kids are grown, it's just never the same. Anybody out there listening with little ones, yeah, this baby right here snoring. I wonder if everybody can get her.
I hope the microphone's picking up.
I know. That's Claire. Shh, that little noise. So those times with youngsters at Christmas, you know, it goes by so fast. So I do have to make sure I give a shout out. I missed my son and Sarah there in Tennessee, but heard from them this morning. It's hard not to see him on Christmas. And then my baby girl and my littlest baby boy. I know Katie Brian. Listens in.
And Brian.
And Brian. I was going to. Katie, her husband Brian, and then the newest addition to our family, Ronan. I really missed seeing them. We did some Christmas, you know, the last couple months and kind of on FaceTime, but I did miss some Merry Christmas to my children and my little baby boy. And but it's been, you know, even without my children here, it's been a wonderful Christmas.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank y'all for having us in y'all's house, too.
You're very welcome.
And, you know, last minute opening up, we're like, hey, we're coming down. Get ready. Here we come.
It was so impromptu that you guys got us double gifts.
Right.
I forgot that you sent your gifts already.
No, I didn't forget.
Actually, this came about. I'm like, all right. Nobody corrected.
Two Christmases. It was great. It was great. Thanks for letting us get on the podcast, too.
Yeah,
before
I hope you guys
over.
Enjoyed it. I hope everybody has a great Christmas. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to, this is probably going to be the one of the last ones of this year.
Yeah.
And then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to start season 3. Sometime next year.
Yeah. Oh, so we're on the season finale?
Probably.
Oh, man.
Unless we just change it up.
Yeah,
forget
yeah.
that we said this was the season finale.
Okay.
And just do a season finale.
Okay. We may or may not have been on the season finale.
Yeah.
It's a true cliffhanger.
Penultimate episode or final episode. Well, we love you, babies. Goodbye.
Bye,
thank you for listening.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye now.